Hello and welcome to another edition of The Complete Works. My name is Doug Hess. I am your host. And if you're tuning in The Complete Works for the first time, welcome. What I want to explain about this podcast and what we do in this particular podcast is just like the name suggests, The Complete Works. We are looking at and we are discussing a specific movie from an actor, actress, director, or composer's film career. And what we do is take one film at a time. So every episode is devoted to just one film of that particular actor, actress, director, composer's career. And we dissect, talk about that particular film. Right now, we're currently working our way through the Nicolas Cage film career. And on this episode of The Complete Works, we're going to be discussing Vengeance, a love story that came out in 2017. You can find out more about The Complete Works podcast on film-book.com by using the search term The Complete Works. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com with The Complete Works in the subject line. You can also put in the subject line, Vengeance, a love story. We'd love to hear from you. Love to get your feedback. Or any additional comments that you might have about this particular podcast. If you like what you hear on the podcast, please hit the subscription button so we every time that we release a new podcast, it can be delivered directly to you. On a moment's notice, as we do every week, like I said, we're going through Nicolas Cage's film history. We're currently working through Nicolas Cage right now, and this week, we're going to be talking about Vengeance, a love story. And as we do every week, we like to start off with a little bit of some trivia before we really dive into what the movie's about and some of the cast, storyline, some of the different reviews that that we receive on the book, or excuse me, on the movie. And so we'll go ahead and jump into that right now. So Vengeance, a love story starring Nicolas Cage was filmed in 2016. It's adapted from a novel called Rape, a Love Story by Joyce Carol Oates. And obviously they changed the name to Vengeance, a Love Story. I tried to do a little bit of research. My guess is nobody wants to go and see a movie called Rape, a Love Story, whether it's too graphic or violent. And so Vengeance, a Love Story kind of works well into this adaptation of the story. This is the sixth time that Nicolas Cage plays a character whose name is John or Johnny. So he's been in six movies where John or Johnny has been his character name in the film in terms of this. At one point in pre-production, Nicolas Cage was attached to direct or was going to direct, but due to scheduling conflicts, he gave the director's chair over to Johnny Martin, who went on to direct this film in terms of that. So, and then a couple other quick things. Anna Hutchinson, who was in the movie, she wasn't nominated or even considered an Academy Award nomination for her performance in her realistic portrayal of a rape victim. So, as you can imagine, Rape, a Love Story, there is a scene in there regarding a rape scene. Very realistic. Unfortunately, I hate to say that it was just very realistic. Let me just put it that way. And unfortunately, she did not get nominated for her performance in this movie. One of the other points or trivia that I'd like to mention about this, and one of the bar scenes, there is an extra that is sitting next to Nicolas Cage in a booth, and so he's on the other side of Nicolas Cage in the film, and this extra has a portrait tattoo of Nicolas Cage on his arm, and several months prior to them filming that scene and the extra being next to him, Nicolas Cage actually signed or autographed, if you will, the tattoo of the portrait of himself. And so that's kind of a neat little trivia regarding that. So, some other neat little trivias. Originally, production was going to be with Samuel L. Jackson. Diane West. But that was also supposed to be filmed up in Michigan in 2009. But unfortunately, that didn't pan out. And Scouts arrived in Michigan in the fall of 2008, and production was then halted. Conflicts kept others from being able to be in the movie. So then we fast forward to February the 7th, 2016, and that is when Nicolas Cage joined the cast in the film. And then on March the 8th of 2016, it was announced that Nicolas Cage was going to direct the film. As I mentioned earlier, he later dropped out because of conflicts with his schedule, and so he was able to turn the director's chair over to Johnny Martin, who went on to direct the film in terms of that. And then on April the 22nd of 2016, Anna Hutchinson joined the cast as well. And then on May 12th, 2016, Don Johnson, from the Miami Vice fame, joined the cast as well. And he plays an attorney or a lawyer in this film. The total running time of Vengeance, a Love Story is 99 minutes. It had an opening weekend of only $4,526 on September the 17th, 2017. It was circulated worldwide, and it only had a gross amount of a little over $73,000 worldwide. So it didn't do very well at the box office when it had not only its opening weekend, but also in its cumulative review of everything. So not a very good, not a strong opening at all in terms of that. Now, if we look at the Rotten Tomato reviews, it only had a 28%, so not even a full 3 out of 10 individuals enjoyed the movie. It kind of got some very harsh criticism. Nicolas Cage really got pounded in some of the reviews in terms of that, which I'll talk about in just a second. But before we get into that, like I said, Nicolas Cage is in the film. He plays John. Anne Hutchinson plays Tina, and then we also have Don Johnson, who plays Jay, who is an attorney or a prosecutor in this film. I'm sorry, not a prosecutor, but a defense lawyer in the film. It was directed by Johnny Martin, as I mentioned, because Nicolas Cage was originally scheduled to direct, but he dropped out later. And it was written by John Maniscalco. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I know I'm not, but it was John Mann, M-A-N-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z, and it went to the theaters, or released in the theaters by FilmRise on September the 15th, 2017, and then on disc/streaming also on September the 15th, 2017 as well. And we already mentioned a little bit of what it did at the box office on September the 15th, in terms of that. Like I said, some of the reviews was kind of harsh. A lot of the criticism when it came to the movie is that it was really unrealistic in terms of that, that it was very unbelievable, some of the things that went on. It also goes on, a lot of the criticism or the movie reviews that I saw about Nicolas Cage, that basically Nicolas Cage is starting to play the same old character over and over again, where he has a wife who's passed away, or he's divorced, he's an alcoholic, he's mumbling all the time, and he's seldom hilarious. He's almost miserable, coming across as very miserable, stereotypic characters, is what a lot of the film critics are saying. Now, I told you that it was based on a novel that was written in 2003, again, by Joyce Carol Oates. And a lot of them are saying rape, a love story, and the way it was written for the film of Vengeance, a Love Story, that it was basically a terrible adaptation, of Joyce's novel. and bringing it to the big screen was just terrible. So what is Vengeance a Love Story? What is the premise of the movie, etc.? Before I tell you what the premise is and what the movie is really about, think of Death Wish. Back in the 1970s, late 70s, early 80s, with Charles Bronson. Think of Death Wish. You could also think of, in the late 70s and the 80s, Dirty Harry movies with Clint Eastwood starring as Dirty Harry. So if you think of that concept, Death Wish or the Dirty Harry series, that is what you can think of when it comes to Vengeance a Love Story. The problem is, and I would have to agree with a lot of the critics that are out there, what's unfortunate about this film is that it is not realistic. And that is probably my biggest concern, and I know that that was something that a lot of the critics were saying as well. And let me just kind of give you a quick synopsis of the story. Basically, walking home one night after the 4th of July event, a 12-year-old daughter to Tina, which is played by Anne Hutchinson, they're walking home after midnight from the 4th of July event, and then that is when Tina and her daughter crosses paths with some local individuals, a gang, if you will, and they brutally gang rape Tina and Hutchinson in front of her 12-year-old daughter. Okay. And so what happens is the daughter is then able to later identify the rapist, but what they do is the local gang members or the rapist, they hire this hotshot attorney who then attacks Tina's character. And so the attorney is played by Don Johnson, like I mentioned. And so the local police officer, Nicolas Cage, or John, he basically was one of the first officers on the scene. And then what he decides to do after the attorney, this hotshot attorney, Jay, or Don Johnson's character, he basically tears Tina apart, breaks her down, and then, as you can imagine, that's when John, Nicolas Cage, this police officer, he basically takes matters in his own hands, and he starts to attack each of the individuals who brutally raped Tina. So that is basically the film in a nutshell. And like I said, think of the Dirty Harry, or to me, I thought it was more in line with Death Wish in terms of what to expect in the revenge, where justice is thrown out the window, the courts don't help, and then what happens is you have this vigilante, Nicolas Cage, John, take matter in their own hands to get revenge in terms of that. What is kind of interesting about this, I'll kind of give you a little bit of a heads up. Yes, it's a Nicolas Cage film. Nicolas Cage is in here. But I would have to say that it was kind of light on Nicolas Cage, and we focus more, or the movie focused more on the courtroom drama, probably than anything else. Nicolas Cage's character, like I mentioned earlier, he is, you know, kind of mumbling, an alcoholic, not very hilarious or not very funny, like you think of Nicolas Cage or what Nicolas Cage can be, where he puts a little humor, his own style of humor on this. This individual, John, detective, he seemed to be tired, just kind of beat up, tired, and I think one can argue that maybe that tired, beat up finally gets a hold of somebody, and that's where he wants his revenge or wants to be able to help out. Again, a lot of the stuff that I saw in the movie, probably three things that I thought that didn't help the movie. One was, I didn't think a lot of the characters were developed. We didn't get to see a lot of character development in the film, would be number one. Number two, a lot of the stuff was unrealistic that you see in the film. And then three is just that, well, we didn't get to see a lot of Nicolas Cage. And I also thought Don Johnson playing Jay the attorney was basically way over the top. There's one scene that comes to mind where, Jay, played by Don Johnson, is defending these rapists, and he really tears into Tina. And then what happens is everybody in the courtroom starts applauding. I would say that, one, you know, do you really want to write a film where the defendant is getting applauded by their attorney? And number two, is that really realistic? And then I think once you see the film, you'll see where I'm coming from in terms of that. I thought Anne Hutchinson was very believable in this film. Don Johnson, like I said, I really felt like he was over the top and was really stretching to have this attorney. And I don't know if that was at the hands of the director, Martin, if that's how he was directed, or if that's how Don Johnson actually saw Jay developing in this film. But I just thought it was over the top. And then when it comes to Nicolas Cage, I just thought his performance was lackluster at best in terms of that. Now, I have to say that I have not read Joyce Carol Oates's Rape, A Love Story. Obviously, I want to give it the benefit of the doubt since I haven't had a chance to read it. But I find it hard to believe that the way that they had developed the movie was anything close to what was in the book. I could be totally wrong. I have just said that I have not read the book. So I do want to give everybody a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But I really just thought that Hollywood, in this particular instance, that the director, the writer, kind of fell short. And unfortunately, the characters then in the movie fell short as well, and really didn't make this the type of film that it could have been. I think it could have been a much stronger film. It could have been developed. Like I said, I think the characters could have been a little bit more developed. And some of the revenge or the vengeance that we see in the movie could have been more realistic. I just really think that it was kind of a rush, bang-up job. And the concept is there. The framework is there. But when they built it, they just really rushed into the production of it and made what could have been a very decent film into a lousy film, in my honest opinion. And so when I judge this film, 10 being the highest, obviously 1 being negative or the lowest, I would say that I have to agree with the Rotten Tomato crew that I would give it a 3 out of a 10. Again, could have been a great movie or a much better movie than it was. It wasn't because of the concept. Again, I haven't read the book by Miss Oates, but I have a feeling that the foundation was there. They rushed to get this movie made all the way back with Samuel L. Jackson back in 2008, and it wasn't made and filmed until 2016. So in my opinion, it kind of sat there. It could have been a much better film than it really was, but it wasn't. So for that, I'm going to give it a 3 out of a 10 and say that I think it could have done a much better job than it really was in terms of that. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Complete Works as we reviewed Vengeance, A Love Story, starring Nicolas Cage. You can find out more of my work on film-book.com. Just search Doug Hess or The Complete Works. You can also find me on Twitter at HessDoug14. Again, that's Hess Doug at 14. If you listen to this podcast of iTunes or any podcast services, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on the YouTube channel, Filmbook Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. Tune in next time when I review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. I want to thank you for listening, and please like The Complete Works. Send us a message, and until we meet again next week, have a great week, everyone. Thank you again. Send us a review, and we'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. I would say overall, I would give this film more of a 3 instead of a 5. I did see where some of the critics actually gave this even a lower than a 5. One critic from Slate Magazine actually gave it a 1.5 out of 4 stars and commented that the film had a few thrilling moments, but its pleasure are fleeting and always balanced by oppression, ugliness. It really is even deeper dive into the smile between chaos rather than compassion and contentment. So across the board, I would say that most people had it at a 5 or lower, which means that only about 50% actually enjoyed the movie. I'm going to be honest, I was not one that really enjoyed it. Matter of fact, about halfway through the movie, I was looking at my watch saying, how much longer do I have to watch this show in terms of that? That's just giving you an honest review. Again, even though it's got some actors with names in it, I just wanted to get it over with, personally, in terms of that. So, some other information about the film. The film was the closing entry for the director's Fortnite section of the 2016 Cannes Film Festival, in terms of that. The principal photography of the film began on October the 19th, 2015, in Cleveland, Ohio. Filming also took place in Sheffield Lake, and it ended on November the 23rd, 2015. And like I said, they only took 25 days to shoot the film, and most of the crew were recent film graduates in terms of that. It was released on November the 4th, 2016 in the United States. Again, in May of 20, on May 20th of 2016, it was the at the Cannes Film Festival. In terms of budget, I had did some research on that. It looked like they had a budget of approximately $40 million. But it didn't even make $1 million back at the box office. So it was basically a bust from the start. Like I said, I didn't enjoy the movie. I thought it was at times very painful to watch. Even though you've got two great actors in there, you know, Nicolas Cage can be spotty at times. But overall, I think he's a great actor. William Dafoe, like I said, three or four different movies that come to my mind immediately with him in it, and I found him to be just a very good actor as well. But in this particular movie, Dog Eat Dog, it was a flop in my opinion, and really a disappointment, to be honest with you, in terms of that. So, not that it didn't have its great moments at times, but overall, it was just flat for me, and it's actually kind of hard to talk about it, to be honest with you, because I didn't enjoy it that much in terms of that. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to give the benefit out of the doubt in terms of that. So, sorry for the poor review on terms of that, but I'm just trying to give you my honest opinion and feedback. Again, like I said, I wish I would have taken the time to have read the book first, but I didn't, and that's fine in terms of that. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this episode of The Complete Works as we work our way through the Nicolas Cage movie history. This film was Dog Eat Dog. You can find out more of our work on film-book.com. Just search for Doug Hess or The Complete Works. You can also find me on Twitter at HessDoug14. Again, that's HessDoug14. If you're listening to podcasts or on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate us, review, like the episode. And if you're listening to podcasts on your YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like us on our video. And again, subscribe to the channel. Leave us a comment in the comment section. Send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Get your take on this podcast or on others. Again, if you like what you hear, we encourage you to like the podcast. Hit the subscription button so every week we can go ahead and have that signed up to you, or sent to you, I should say. Feel free to email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com. In the subject line, write The Complete Works, Episode 77, Dog Eat Dog, whatever. Get our attention. We'd love to hear from you in terms of that. So we're going to ask you to tune in next time when we review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. We thank you for listening. We'll see you then. Take care, everyone. McVeigh for all charges on October the 30th. I'm sorry, for all the charges on October the 30th in 2000. So some 67 years later, 67 years later, President Clinton exonerates Captain McVeigh in terms of, and so basically it was that pressure that got to him. And that's how the film really ends, is that Captain McVeigh just really couldn't take the torture, if you will. I hope I can say it that way, from the harassment. And it was just a terrible thing. I mean, I can't imagine being in the captain's position, but I cannot also imagine being one of the loved ones that lost a husband or a father or a brother in this event, or son. And I could see both sides of this. And like I said, Captain McVeigh just really couldn't take the pressure, and unfortunately commit suicide from the harassment, for lack of a better word, in terms of that. Now, what's interesting, there's always a subplot in films like this. I shouldn't say always, but a lot of times. And basically, we have two childhood friends, Indianapolis diver Brian Bam Smithwicks and a crew member, Mike Delanto. Long story short, both of these individuals fall in love with the same woman without the other knowing. So both of them are in love with the same woman. Neither one of them really knows it. Delanto purchased an engagement ring before the trip, and he is going to propose. Who tells? Yeah, the trip. Basically, long story short, again, the two of them get into it, a brawl involving two of the crewmen. So the Antio loses a ring, and one of the other crew members, Alvin, steals it after the ship is destroyed. Smithwick and D'Angelo spend the next few days in the sea with the rest of the crew, where D'Angelo succumbs to massive leg injuries received in a shark attack, and Smithwick is given the engagement ring by Alvin. Bam proposals to Antonio's fiance Claire, to help raise their child, and she accepts their proposal. While the credit rolls, two Navy sailors re-encounter the sharks in the water, and the real rescue footage is shown along with many still shots of the lost sailors in the Pacific Ocean of that day. A really terrible, situation based on a true story and event. So the question then becomes, Nicolas Cage and his performance in the USS Indianapolis. I thought he was okay. I mean, I would say that, like I've said in so many of these, it wasn't his best, but I wouldn't say it was his worst. I would, on a scale 1 to 10, I'm a little bit more down the middle. I would lean towards a 6, maybe even a 6.5 out of a 10 in terms of that. Just because, well, I'm a history buff, and I really love those types of movies. And so I would give him the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, though, it wasn't one of his worst performances, by no means, but it wasn't one of his best either. So I'm going to go somewhere between a 6, 6.5 in terms of that. Like I said, others with Rotten Tomato only gave it a 17. But again, that was based only on 11 reviews. I stick by my earlier comments regarding the USS Indianapolis, in the sense that the USS Indianapolis is one of those historical events that's out there, but a lot of people just don't know the story. If it wasn't for the movie Jaws in 1975, I think even fewer people would understand or have any historical reference regarding the USS Indianapolis in terms of that. We see that on February the 5th, 2015, Nicolas Cage was set to play the lead role of Captain McVeigh in the film. We see that Matt Lanter was set on April the 1st, 2015 to play U.S. Navy diver Chief Petty Officer Brian Bam Smithwick. Lanter revealed to the producers after his audition that his grandfather, Kinley Lantern, was a signalman on the Indianapolis. Furthermore, Lantern's father, Joe Lantern, is a chairman of the Second Watch, an organization of survivors and their families. Joe Lantern and his co-chair, Mario Bullard, stayed in contact with the producers during pre-production and were welcomed to the set during the photography. Then on May the 13th, 2015, it was revealed that Tom Sizemore, Thomas Jane, and Brian Presley would also join the cast for the film in terms of that. On July the 15th, 2015, Cody Walker was cast in the film to play one of the crewmen aboard the ship. And like I said, that was his acting debut in terms of that. See here, principal photography on the film began on June the 19th, 2015 in Mobile, Alabama, with many of the scenes shot aboard the battleship USS Alabama, which I discussed earlier, that was to take place or be to be in place of the Indianapolis. Filming also took place in San Francisco and over in Japan, but the producers later opted to double Mobile for both San Francisco and Japan in terms of that. And then on June the 27th, 2015, filming was underway in Orange Beach in terms of that for the film. After filming on July the 14th in downtown Mobile, Cage, Nicolas Cage met a real Navy veteran named Richard Stevens on a beach at Pinneville Square. Stevens was one of the survivors of the ship USS Indianapolis. So Cage and Stevens had a long talk about the disaster, and I'm sure got a much deeper appreciation for the story and the events that those brave individuals went through. Again, what a terrible tragedy in history. And I just can't imagine what it would have been like floating in the ocean for 5 days with no food, with no water, no protection from the sun. Oh, and by the way, I'm surrounded by sharks that want to eat me because of everybody's injuries and the blood, et cetera, in terms of that. So, overall, like I said, Personally, I'm going to give this film a 6 out of a 10. One, just because I'm a little partial to history. But at the same time, I think it's a great story to tell. One thing I'm not too keen on is, but I understand why people do it. I understand why Hollywood does it, is to kind of bring the love story in the mix. I get it. It sells tickets. It's something that they want, they need. I get that. It is what it is in terms of that. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this episode of The Complete Works. We were discussing the film The USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, starring Nicolas Cage. That was released in 2016. You can find out more of my work on film-book.com. You can search my name, Doug Hess, or you can search The Complete Works. You can find me on Twitter at HessDoug14. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you, if you like what you've heard, to subscribe so we can have the podcast sent to you directly. And again, if you have any comments, you feel free to email us at podcast@film-book.com. Again, that's podcast@film-book.com. In the subject line, you can put in The Complete Works, you can put in The USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, or any of the other films that we're talking about. Again, we strongly encourage you to hit the subscription button. And until next week on The Complete Works, have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. That the audience was more willing to give the praise to the actor or actresses in the movie, but was a little standoffish when it came to the actual film in terms of that. The audience polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A, on an A+ to an F. However, Stone works best when it's just Edward and the three journalists in the hotel room sweating it out, because they were deciding what they were going to release, when they were going to release it, etc., in terms of that. But for the actual material of the film, I think a lot of people, like I said, were just a little standoffish or a little squeamish. Now, let's fast forward to 2019, and with the current political climate that is out there, I'm not so sure that this film wouldn't get a much stronger praise from some of the critics when you're looking at the actual material, not the acting, but the message that's there. I think you'd probably have things a little bit different today in 2019 versus 2016, but I could be wrong on that. And again, like I said, I don't want to make this about politics. This is not the podcast for that. And if you're looking for that, there's other podcasts for you to join. I just want to stay with the entertainment value when it comes to with movies and Nicolas Cage or the complete works in general of whoever that we're talking about, an actor, actress, director, composer, etc. And let you, the audience, come up with your own thoughts and intake on that. Okay? Well, that wraps up another edition of The Complete Works. If you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please, we encourage you to rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on the YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like us, our video, and subscribe to our channel. Leave us a comment in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you. And we just ask that you tune in next time when we review and analyze the next Nicolas Cage film. We want to thank you for listening. And again, if you like what you hear, please hit subscribe so we can have future editions of the podcast, The Complete Works, sent directly to you. Love to hear from you as well. Send us an email if you have any thoughts, comments, or concerns. And you can do that at podcast@film-book.com. And in the subject line, put in the complete works, Snowden, or any of the other other movies that we have been reviewing. And we hope to see you next time. So again, thanks for listening to the Complete Works. This has been an episode on Nicolas Cage. And the movie that we reviewed for Nicolas Cage was Snowden. So until next time, take care.